So what do you think of that big band sound, Miss Mexico?
I like the one with the piano at the end, before the weird choir.
You mean Kamasai Washington, about 7 minutes ago?
Like, you had a duap, then before that a weird choir, and before that there was at the end of... Sounded like David Sunra.
Who?
Sunra.
Sunra, yeah. That was probably Kamasai, Washington. It's called Changing of the Guard. Went on for a long time, the song, right?
Yeah.
It was playing when you came in.
I like the end.
Yeah, it was great. And it was playing when you came in, when I brought you in. That's the first thing you heard, right? I mean, eventually got to the piano.
Yes, I think so.
So this song, this is a big event, this one. As Duke Ellington, 1957, called the Jeeps Blues, not the Jeeps, just Jeeps Blues, somebody named Jeep. And in the 60s, in Halifax, Steve and I would listen to this jazz show at midnight Saturday night, and Carolyn too. And it was a guy named Don Warner, and it was on CBC. I think it went across the country, but it came out of Halifax. And Don Warner was a big band guy in the 30s and 40s.
How can you remember so many things?
What?
Like, how can you remember so many things?
I don't make an effort to. It's just there. It sticks to me. I'm paying attention, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyways, listen to this. So Don Warner was a big band guy in Halifax in the 30s and 40s. He went to Montreal, maybe got to play a little bit in New York in that period. Almost made it, but he didn't. So he goes back and he plays big band stuff in Halifax in the 30s, 40s, 50s. And he eventually gets a radio show, and he's a real scholar of great jazz, and his show was amazing. And he called it Warner's Waxworks. So I remember Sue Bone telling me, because her father was a big band guy in the same period, Jack Bone, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Yes.
So they
send some greetings to Sue Bone.
You're giving greetings to Sue?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, like old school radio station.
Right. Actually, Sue tuned in last week. And she said, I didn't notice it till later, and let's see if I can find it. Let's see, you go down here to that, you look at that, and then you scroll down. Yeah, she wrote in at some point last week. She said, "Greetings, Bob, Connie, Ginny, Greg, and Dave. Very strange to log on and hear you talking about the band Queen, because I've just been listening to Queen's Live Aid." Yes, and we've been playing Queen because Ginny and Greg had seen a movie, documentary on Freddie, whatever his name is, and...
Mercury, like the planet.
What?
He actually had an Indian name, like a weird name, but... That was his stage name, Freddie Mercury, like the planet.
Oh, Freddie Mercury, right. So Ginny and Greg were talking about the documentary they saw just came out on Freddie Mercury, and then they started watching Queen's performance at Live Aid in 1985. And so Sue was not listening to us. She hasn't listened to our show in a while, I don't think. And she was... watching Queen at Live Aid for some reason, tuned in, and we were talking about Queen. And she,
you know, my sister Audrey, plays often when she wakes up, this "Don't Stop Me Now."
Oh, yeah?
I'm having such a good time. Very loud in the morning. So every time I hear the word Queen, I think about Audrey singing that very early.
And that was when you were a teenager, you mean?
I think she does it still now, yeah.
I don't know that song. I don't think I do. Anyways, I didn't know Queen that well. So Sue says, "Ion must have nudged me to check in with Payday. I didn't even know there was a Queen movie out. You all are in fine form. Fall back." That's when we had to change our clocks last week, fall back. So anyways, Sue Bone told me years ago that she, her father was a big band guy who competed with Don Warner in the Halifax area. And one day around the time she was in college, late 60s, early 70s, she was in the same room as Don Warner. And she said, Sue was very opinionated back then, she said she got into a big argument with Don Warner over her position that rock was way better than jazz. So Don Warner, his religion was jazz. So they had a real knockdown fight verbally about jazz versus rock. So I found that out years later. I wasn't there when it happened. I didn't know her at the time. But meanwhile, Steve and I became friends of Don Warner, and he would bring in big, famous jazz guys from New York. And we'd meet them. He'd play. He'd conduct them. And he had a lot of great stories. So I was telling Steve a while ago, I said, the opening to Don's Warner's Waxworks is incredible. If we could just find out what that was. And he remembered the second theme song years later. Like, I think Don was knocked off the air in the 70s. Then he came back in the 80s and had a different theme song. And Steve knew that one. But he knew there was a different one in the 60s. So just last week, he found it. He said he was listening to, he always listens to a jazz radio station, and he's a real aficionado of it. He's a musician himself, so he knows how to play that stuff. And all of a sudden they were playing it, and he said, "I recognize it immediately." So he checked it out, found out, and he sent it to me. So that's what we're playing here. It's going to be almost my theme song because I have so many good associations with the song and with Don's shows, which were great shows, very scholarly. Once I was in New York, and I was talking to Charles Mingus, and in a bar, he hadn't started playing yet. And
I understand him. Like every time I listen to Charles Mingus, he's like,
that's his bumble. Yeah, that's his sensory. He's putting in tactility, probably verbal tactility.
My ex-husband was a big fan of him, and he will try to imitate him and.
Couldn't do it.
He was always wearing rings and trying to talk like that.
Wow. So he admired Charles Mingus.
Yes.
And you know who Mingus loved?
He was trying to be him in some way.
Wow. Well, Charles Mingus was... So you heard a lot of Mingus records at your home.
Yes.
Yeah. Mingus loved Beefheart, Captain Beefheart. That was pretty neat.
Really?
Yes. He thought Beefheart was tremendous. He never seemed to compliment Zappa. I don't know what he thought of Zappa, but he became a friend of Beefheart's and attended Beefheart's concerts in New York. So that was interesting. Anyways, I'm talking to Mingus, and I just out of the blue said, "You ever heard of Don Warner?" And I said, "Do you know Don Warner?" He says, "No, are you him?" And I never expected that. But I am becoming Don Warner because I found the song and life is perfect now. This is what I heard every Saturday night for years. This is the opening song.
Ah.
Johnny Hodges.
Very nice.
Isn't that nice? That's Johnny Hodges on the sax. Do you think you ever heard, do you think he ever played that? Does that sound familiar, your ex-husband?
Oh, he had so many, many records. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I'm thinking of Mingus. No, no, I was thinking of him. No, he probably didn't have this, but I'm thinking
of... they're wonderful libraries, everything you can have here in Berlin. You have music and anything.
Yeah.
Really amazing archives.
And it's free at the university, or you have to be a registered student?
Not only at the universities, in the museums and like in the Kulturforum or in the music museum, they have really amazing everything.
Listen to how Duke Ellington, he goes, yeah! He goes, ah! At the beginning of a song. He does a little introduction. I got Bill to clip it off. He talks about something. And then he goes, yeah! Listen to this, the very first part. For a second. Ah! He said, he's just talking about, well, this and that, and he goes, ah! And his band starts playing, you know? So Duke Ellington...
That was his conducting, like Zappa.
I was just going to say, Zappa redid Duke Ellington with the rock world. And he was as big, as huge, and they were equally giants, you know, Duke and Zappa. And you know who Duke would visit? He would go to the Center for Culture and Technology and visit McLuhan. And one night on Don Warner, way back there, he was playing an album by Duke, and Duke introduced it by talking about McLuhan. So I kind of knew about that connection from the album. But then when I met Marg Stewart, she told me about a lot of people that dropped in on McLuhan, and she mentioned Duke Ellington. So when I got my letters from those items, 13,000 items from that guy at the National Archives, there was a letter in there. They, Duke and Marshall, regularly exchange Christmas cards. So I have probably a copy of one. Probably when I find it, I'll post it. So Michael says, Michael Brown in South Africa says, Freddie Mercury's birth name is Farouk Bulsara.
Yeah, no wonder he changed it. Yeah.
What is that? Is that like Lebanese or F-A-R-R-O-K-H? Farouk Bulsara. Or is he Indian? You're saying he's actually Palestinian. Pakistani or something?
No, I think his family migrated to somewhere. Some island.
Oh, okay, so it was derivative. He wasn't from India.
But they were Indian migrants.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
In some exotic place.
Right. So what is the name of the song that your sister played or sang or whatever she did?
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time and having a ball. Don't stop me now.
Yeah,
I will listen to that song like a lot every day, every morning. It's very ironic, actually.
Yes, and it's typical princess in Mexico. The spoiled girl, she just said, I'm having a great time, and I don't care that you're not. So, maybe someone could post a link. Someone could find it, and we'll play it later. So, I'm inviting Bert. Is Bert on here? Bert's not in yet. I think Bert should call in. We're going to have a discussion. And there's a call from South Africa. If that's you, Michael, you're welcome to participate. If it's not you, it's Nick, then
fuck off.
No.
No, I'm joking.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Fuck off.
Oh, yeah. That's Freddie Mercury's name. Farouk Bulsara. Looks like fuck off. Here is a good song, just while we wait for, what's his name, Bert, or Michael.
Farouk.
Farouk. Farouk, that's how you say it. So, this song was requested by Holly 222.
Tonight.
An hour ago. And I don't know if you know this one. This guy wants to go back to 1964.
Let's send this to Bob.
Oh, you found it. That's it?
Yes.
Oh, let's hear it.
Wait, no, but I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, but then I'd rather hear it. It's harder to put it in. I have to do through a whole bunch of procedures. Let's just get the general notion of it. So just turn.
I'll see you all want to make a supersonic man out of you.
It speeded up. He started off slow, and then it sped up, right?
Yes. Tonight.
I've never heard that. Somebody called Dead Man Walken, spelt like the actor Walken, Christopher Walken, whatever his name is. Apparently, Freddie Mercury's parents were Zoroastrian Parsis from India. Okay, that sounds right. The name looks like that, Persian. It's got some Arab in it or something, in the way it is. That's why
okay.
I said Lebanon.
And I have no idea.
About what? You were right. You said...
Yes, I thought he was Indian, but he's...
Well, there's Zoroastrian Parsis from India. You know, it's what you were right. Now, here's this... So that was ridiculous. That song. Never heard it before. I'm sure glad I didn't wake up to it every day.
I like that. I'm going to make a supersonic man out of you.
Oh, is that right? Is that what they said? Lyrics might be worth it.
Yes. Like, he's in ecstasy, like you.
Yes. He lives like me. But I did it without music. I just started breathing and I was in ecstasy. I didn't even have to get dressed.
Do it without music. Everything is... part of the big note.
Yes.
Everything is vibrating.
I live the big note.
You know, I was listening to a talk about the particle accelerator and how they really don't know anything about matter. They don't know about what the particles really are. Maybe it's just like an illusion.
Yeah. Well, you know how I figured, how I found that out? When I started being on Jack Sarfatti's private forum in the late 90s, and all the big physicists, you know, Stephen Hawking, Brian Greene, all these people that were famous in the media and the academic people, they argued over everything, and I realized they didn't know, they had no agreement. These physicists, these scientists, they didn't agree on anything. So they didn't really know anything. It was a con that they put up a public face. Oh, well, we know this, we know that. But they didn't. That's right.
There's all these theories. Like, it's so weird. It's like fantasies, actually. But somehow technology works and we don't know anything. It's
right.
Really weird.
But here's what those guys are. They're, and especially the 20th century, they're Aristotelian speculative science. The stuff that LaRouche doesn't like. These guys don't make anything. They just speculate and argue over what they know about or what they flash in the other guy's eyes. That is the Aristotelian scene in science, in universities. And actual inventions are made by people, as William Irwin Thompson documents, who get dreams and don't even know how they got the thing. They don't even know what it is. And then they think it's for another purpose. And it's for a different purpose. So, yes, we're accidents. We're nothing but accidents, as McLuhan called it. One accident after another.
Yes, and then they were talking about how the like the technologies for the remote controls and all these things prove that there is no space-time,
mm-hmm.
because somehow these information particles, wave something, can move around and even through matter.
Yeah, but the bigger one is there ain't no particles. Even LaRouche, he calls that pairwise particles is bullshit. You know, the idea of pairs of electron and neutron, it's all bullshit.
Mm.
And that gets over to ion land. Ion points to that. Now, I will put on the models of pairwise nuclear structure, but he says they don't have a clue what is actually going on. And it really comes down to frequency and vibrations, whatever they are.
Yes, and then I was listening to other things. I was like, Irving Williams.
Hey, hold it. Leon's gone nuts. He says, suck your own dick. Take that bottle and shove it up your ass. And there's no reason, rhyme or reason, why he should type that in right now. What is wrong with you, Leon?
He just came back from a parallel world.
Yeah.
He just next to you.
That's right. That's right.
It makes no sense in this world.
So Michael, we got more facts here.
I was... like,
listen to this.
Hold it.
Bulsara is an Indian surname similar to Balsar, which indicates ancestry from Bulsar, which is Valsad. And then Farouk is Persian, meaning fortune, happy. Also transliterated as Farouk is a popular given name for boys and also a common surname in Iran, Central Asia, and among Muslim and Zoroastrians in South Asia. So he's typing this stuff, so I had to interrupt you. Because back to your point. What is your point?
Yeah, I was like Irving William Thompson watching weird videos, weird talks. And there is a guy in Spain that publishes a very famous mystery landscape science magazine called Año Cero, like mm-hmm. the year zero.
Yeah.
But they put mystery landscape but also science together. So, and it's very popular. And he was saying that there were a lot of very normal people reporting to him for many years that they somehow travel in space or in time, that they have these portaling experiences. Like very normal people, no esoteric, no nothing, just like
yep.
normal workers, normal. In many cases, like they were going somewhere on their cars, and then they would suddenly be like 200 kilometers from that point, and they even had like a panic attack because they could not understand what happened.
And this magazine's reporting this?
No, people contact him to talk
mm-hmm.
about these experiences to him.
Yeah.
And he had the impression that this type of thing is more common that we think. That maybe officially might be impossible, but it's actually quite common that people have this type of experiences. That
You had one.
Like I was in my bike, and then all of a sudden I was like in a place very, 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 very far in Berlin. Like I was like, how did I got here? Like in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And somehow your brain starts trying to make it logic or to understand, but I think that you can have like a panic attack.
Yeah.
Because the labyrinth of your mind is trying to understand what happened. they're like, there must be a shorter way or. But then it took me a very long time to come back to my house. I was here like around 3 a.m.
Jeez.
So I was like, and when I came in, you called. It was very weird.
I called right then.
Yes, like, and I told you, like, something very hard has happened to me, like. Yeah, so I believe these people.
Yeah, Germaine's had a lot. A few other Ionauts have had this experience. I can't think of him. You ever have one, Bert?
No, I have another anomaly that's been going on for 6 months that I just noticed.
Let's hear it.
It's strange, but it's in the toilet that I must be sharing. We must be sharing our toilet with another pair of me and my wife, because in the morning I will replace the toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
and when I get home in the evening, the toilet paper is finished, and I've been documenting that over the last 2 months, because I'm like, wait a minute, I just fucking replaced it. And you get home in the evening and it's gone, and I'm like, what the fuck?
That's a good one. What's your wife say to that?
Well, I brought it to her attention like 3 weeks ago. I said, have you noticed this? And she's like, yeah. She started noticing it. So that's
someone's really, in your home during the day. You guys are gone.
Yes. But, you know, I heard Ion mention in the archive to someone that sometimes when they get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, they already hear the toilet running, and Ion says that's the other part, other you, using the toilet before you use it. So that helped me understand that. But, yeah, I've been really noticing the last 6 months, but the last 2 months I've consciously, like, took pictures and things, you know, because I'm like, wait a minute, this is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, document it. Well, the main anomaly around here, I mean, Ion told us at the beginning there were, like, 250 ghosts in our home. And we got the home. We moved from a smaller place that we had for 6 months in June 2008, smaller place. Then we moved here in December 2008, and then Ion showed up in March, you know, a few months later, 4 months later, and pretty quickly Ion was telling us that we had to move because they were coming, Ion, and all these ghosts would gather around. So there was more room. We needed more room. We got a way bigger house for the ghosts, and it is regular here. They're upstairs partying, banging all the time. Like, Karen's asleep. But wow. This is like 3 or 4 in the morning. They're banging around, shutting doors. They're always making noises. Now, I just live with it, you know. I don't go running up to find them. But the ghost noises are ridiculous. And Ion says that you can, if you start looking at the corner of your eye, you will see them eventually. That's how you will begin to notice them. So for years, there's always people running behind me in the kitchen or out here, you know, by the computer at the corner of my eye. They're all over the place. We're surrounded by them.
Oh.
And
that's, you just reminded me, Bob.
The amount of ghosts I have. What?
I see that. We have ghosts as well, man. You just reminded me, because it's a strange thing, anomaly that I can't really share, but hearing you talk about it, there are many times in our house that I, at the corner of my eye, I see someone dart past, and I'm like, wait a minute, what?
And that probably picked up with the drops. I think I really started noticing it once I was on the drops many years ago. But it's funny, you can't see them. They just, you know, whip by and they disappear when you go to see them. They either are not allowing it or they don't want to be seen. But we got 250, you know. Well, that was reported years ago. I don't know what we have now. Well, we got probably most of the world here now, because everybody can't get back. They can't go to the Guff. So they're all here. And then you guys get this fallout from that. You get anomalies all the time because you're in touch with here. So how'd we get onto that? So I was asking if Michael was going to come in. Michael should type in whether he's coming. Let's see.
Oh, we got into this because Leo wrote something that has nothing to do with anything. So we start talking about space.
Somebody, there have been theories. Michael says to Leon, RNA reset drops are not a suppository, Leon. So he was sticking the drops up his ass.
Don't limit him. You know, Ion sometimes say to some people, put the drops on your, how do you call the place where the umbilical cord?
The belly button.
The belly.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that you can put some drops or residue there.
Right.
And it can get absorbed very well.
Well, the other
why not?
Yeah, well, the thing we all got to do, we need to call up
somewhere else. Why not?
Yes, but the important thing is to call up Aikido, and he gives us the instructions of how to put them in our eyes, because he retrieved his eyesight with the drops in his eyes. And I assume you have to do it properly. So someday we've got to record him giving us the instructions of how to do it. Right? So you have perfect vision.
I believe he does it with the eyeglass, because I sent him the email when he first broke that out. And he uses the eye cup.
Leon will retrieve?
What are you saying, Roxy?
What will Leon retrieve if he put it on his asshole?
What would he retrieve?
Yeah.
We'll have to have a seminar with Leon. We'll have to find out what it's done to him.
What have you noticed lately?
Right. But that's right. I think you're right, Bert. You used the dropper or something. That's what Carolyn says. But I'm waiting for Aikido's actual words on it. So what else was there? So it's really great. You know, I've transcended time. Now that I have Don Warner, who could have imagined 60 fucking years ago, I'm loving this song, the beginning of the show, and now I'm fucking doing it, using it.
It is a really good song.
Yes, it's tremendous. It goes on for 6 minutes. I played it at the beginning of the show many hours ago. But Yuri, a young black guy out in New York area, maybe he moved to, I think he's in New York. He couldn't take it. He kept writing as I was playing that. He says either he's never heard this kind of music or it's something to him. Go back further. He keeps screaming, Bob, you're going to make me melt. And this song, this big brass, so he says, see where he starts to say it. He says, Bob, you're killing me with this brass. And let's see if that was his first sentence. Yeah, you're killing me with this brass. And I was playing it throughout the show many hours. And Susanna goes, burlesque. Then Yuri says, rubbing forehead, this shit is going to steal hearts. Then he says, I have a soft spot for classic New York brass band music. Mm. And Susanna says, Yuri, it's called big band music. And then Yuri says, thank you, Susanna, for the reminder. Then there's a while, and then I played again, and he says, he yells out again, and like an hour or two later, Bob, because I played it again, Bob, you're going to make me melt. And he says, hey, Bob, do you have a weakness for dot, dot, dot? So before he filled on in the noun, I said, yes. And then he said, snacks. So it looks like I'm saying yes to snacks. Do I have a weakness for snacks? That's all I live on. That's all Carolyn gives me. I'm only allowed to have snacks.
Popcorn.
Popcorn
and
Big
Mac.
Yeah. Then Yuri, a little while later, close to what we're doing just now when I played
the game. Ice cream.
Yes, and he says, Bob, it's making my brain ripple. It's interesting that this guy, this music is doing something to him that he's finding strange. And then he's saying
well,
more.
That's real music.
Yeah, that is. You had to be able to play music. You had to know how to take play music back in those days. You couldn't be just a growling ninny, you know.
Yes, like here in Berlin, there is a lot of people, a lot of young people learning to swing, and they organize now concerts with real.
Oh, they're bands. Learning. They're learning the swing music.
Yeah, they dance, they swing.
Oh, they're dancing to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose the techno is getting too boring.
Yeah. Well, that's shocking.